in. It will have some entertainment news in the 9 o'clock hour, along with the kitchens open. And then he writes stories, good stories of the day, all that stuff that we can cram in to this show. We will get it all in there. How's everybody doing this morning? Melissa, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good, good.
I'm here, awake, alive, and I've had at least one cup of coffee.
I can tell. I am finally learning certain things about Melissa, and one of the things is I can tell when she's had her coffee or not. I can tell. I am positive she can tell what I have, too. I am positive.
Yep.
That's a great answer. Beth, how you doing this morning?
I am here. No, I'm doing okay. It's been a busy morning already for me. So, you know, had been to the hospital yet already this morning with a member, and I'll be going back to check in on them again. And, you know, just enjoying my time here as well.
As I told you off air, I'll tell you on air, respect and admire and appreciate just so darn much. And I have no idea how you do what you do, but I admire it so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here too. Thanks.
Yeah.
I wanted to send some more appreciation out there to the best listeners in radio, every one of you. Yesterday's Petpalooza, the first annual, went off over at the South Oconee Humane Society. Seth and I were down there along with our sales lady, Ashley, and hanging out with Madison and the team, a bunch of the most amazing vendors and people you could ask for. First off, thank you so much to these sponsors. That event doesn't happen literally without them. There's no getting around that. We're really, really appreciative to everyone that was a part of this. I want to thank the all the volunteers as well. There were so many people that made this happen. You know, that we wouldn't, not only would we not been able to accomplish what we did without them, but we wouldn't have had these the chance to do this again. Because I was saying it on air. I was saying it to anybody that would listen. It had the feeling of a first, an inaugural event, not a one-off. And hey, that was a lot of fun. Glad that went well. Now moving on. Like, nah, next year we're doing that again. That was too much fun. That was a lot of fun.
Question for you, James: how many animals did you take home?
How many animals was I going to take home? All of them. There was a point where we're doing the broadcast, and it gets pretty hectic when we're doing this. We kind of flipped the script a little bit. Seth was MC1. I was MC2 at this one because he was going to be there for the whole remote. And so I was grabbing guests for him that he was going to interview and those sorts of things. All that's going on, I get in and I sit down. And I swear to you, I am very observant of my surroundings. I sit down and I'm locked in with Seth and trying to catch the talk with Don, who ran the board for us. Thank you, Don. Appreciate you. One of the best in the business, running this board here. I look over and there's Madison. She's out of nowhere. I don't know where she came from. Just right there. And not only that, but she's got a rabbit right there.
Aww.
That she puts in my hands, like, right away.
She's not fool.
It's like she knows you or something.
She's so good. The only catch is that I care so much about these animals. I'm not going to adopt an animal that I know is not going to have, I can't take care of, because I don't have the time or I don't have the space. But I did want to adopt literally every single animal I saw. And I wish I was exaggerating for comedic purposes, but I am not.
No.
I definitely would have.
Part of the reason I didn't come, James.
Yeah. We know some furry friends were adopted and got to Forever Homes yesterday,
good.
And that is
so good.
As much as we appreciate Madison, you volunteers out there, all the vendors and sponsors that were a part of this, it's all about the animals. And I think we did it right by them. I think we did a good job by them, and we're looking forward to doing this again. So we really look forward to not only this but more events with the South Oconee Humane Society. Be listening every Thursday to our Pet of the Week. Not only does Madison bring in a new furry friend for us to fawn over and enjoy and everything, but she always lets us know items that they're in need of and different things that they're looking for. And every little bag thing that you can do, a bag of food, some wet cat food, things like that, that's one less thing that Madison and the team have to worry about, and they can focus on the task at hand.
Tennis balls? Weren't they in need of tennis balls?
Yes, they were. They got a guy over there, a big dog over there that really loves his tennis balls. Yeah.
Loves them to pieces.
Literally.
Again, a big thank you to our friends at the South Oconee Humane Society for hosting us and to all the sponsors. Greatly appreciate y'all. The food trucks. A special shout out to Christopher Lee being there with us and everything. I love listening to Chris, and we had the perfect soundtrack all day. Like, I hope he comes back next year. I think his music's perfect for the event. It really couldn't have worked out better. Great job, everybody.
Yeah.
I want to spend a special shout out to Ashley and to Madison, who worked so hard on this behind the scenes. And I got to say, pulled this off.
Absolutely.
Definitely pulled this off. It was a very successful event, and they both did it. It doesn't happen without the integral work that those two did on it. So nice working, too. Nice.
And it's Ashley's first remote. Congratulations, Ashley. Well done.
Real quick, before we go to break, touching on Rafter news. Rafters split the series with Wausau, coming up a little short yesterday. We're not able to extend that winning streak. It ends at 6 as they fell to Wausau 4-1 on Latino-themed afternoon, which was really cool, by the way. I saw some really cool jerseys and everything. That was awesome.
Nice.
I want to use this as also a note, not only that we have Rafter Baseball back on a radio dial tonight, you'd be sure to catch us with the Rafters' take on the Lakeshore Chinooks. 6:20, our pregame will kick off. We're going to talk about this more in Playmakers today from 3 to 4. Be sure to join us today from 3 to 4 live and direct. We're live in your afternoons again, everybody.
Yeah.
It's our sports talk show where we ask you to call up and join the conversation. You can call 424-2600 to join us on Playmakers, and a shout out to Quality Plus Printing. I actually want to talk about Saturday's game a little bit. Saturday was one of the weirdest games I've ever heard or anything, and I want to touch on that. So we'll talk about that and plenty more with our audience. I do also want to let you know that during Playmakers today, our special guest will be Bob Atkinson from the Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis.
Ooh,
nice.
Bob joins us every year to talk a little Kiwanis and their charity golf scramble that is coming up Monday, August 14th. Looking forward to that.
Great.
Roll Rats, get your tickets for Rafter Baseball. And if you can't catch them, of course, in at Witter Field, we got you covered. Every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter Baseball.
That's right.
Right where it belongs, here at the home of the Rafters, WFHR. Let's go ahead, take our break a little early, come back, do some celebrating with our friends at Misty's and Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Ready? All right.
I feel like we should be singing along.
We should.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
There's always that one.
There's always that one.
That one person is a little off of everybody. Yes. It's time
for whatever reason.
It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. And, of course, get us more birthdays and anniversaries. Mm-hmm. We want to celebrate with you. Info at WFHR.com or James at WFHR.com. You can go ahead and, James.Mailoff at CivicMedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on Facebook as well. Just type in your search bar, WFHR, like the page, and send us those birthdays and anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have two possible qualifiers on the list today. Beth, I need you to give me a one or a two.
Two.
All right. Gives us our qualifiers. And we get to start things off with somebody who can't qualify because they not just work here, they partially own the company.
Oh!
Happy birthday to Devil's Advocate's own Mike Crew.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.
We have enjoyed working with and talking with Mike, getting to know Mike more and more, and appreciate the work that he does. Want to send a big, big happy birthday to the man. Mm-hmm. I'll be telling him so in person a little bit later. Looking forward to that. And certainly think we covered our bases, all right? We wish the boss a happy birthday, right? We're all good?
The only thing we could do is possibly get him to Misty's to get him his pie.
Yeah. He could get pie. He can't qualify for the free stuff. Yep. He still can get the free pie.
There you
can
go.
Still get that. And that's really, that's hilarious that all comes up right as I see Seth for the first time today. As pie comes up, it's like he just formed. It just popped up out of nowhere.
What? Pie?
Pie? I gotta be there. Pie!
Happy birthday, Mike. Enjoy your day, sir.
Happy birthday.
Also want to wish a very happy birthday to another former colleague, sort of ours. For many, many years, for decades, Jeff Siegler was one of the best in the business in this area when it comes to sales.
Mm-hmm.
I really admire Jeff and appreciate him. Well, Jeff's wonderful partner in crime, his wife Marilyn, is celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday, Marilyn.
Happy birthday, Marilyn.
Happy birthday, Marilyn.
we hope you enjoy your day. Marilyn is wonderful. Mm-hmm. She is awesome. Wishing you a great day, Marilyn. Enjoy your day. Our qualifiers today, celebrating their 30th anniversary.
Yay!
Jim and Tammy Call.
Happy Jim and Tammy. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That is a great sounding name. Jim and Tammy Call.
Mm-hmm.
In 30. That's so
30 awesome. Years. Wow.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Very, very happy anniversary, too. Happy 30th, and you're our qualifiers.
Yeah.
We dive into some celebrity birthdays here. Abby Lee is 36, Australian model you might have seen in The Dark Tower, Gods of Egypt, Dag and Mad Max. Mm. She's been getting more and more acting work. I've been seeing her a little more here and there.
Okay.
Dave Franco is 38, younger and, just my opinion, way more talented brother of James Franco. he was in 21 Jump Street. He's been in a handful of stuff. I really enjoy him. He's one of these guys who really does ensemble work really well. You'll see him in a lot of movies with a bunch of other big names, and he just fits right in. I think he holds his own very well.
Right. And I kind of figured you were talking about the movie and not the series because it was not a name I was familiar with.
Yeah.
But you say 21 Jump Street, I go back to the Johnny Depp
same
series.
Here. Yeah, same here. Yeah. You're not alone
80s
on that
kids,
one.
You know?
Yep. Chris Young is 38 today, country superstar.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, I'm going to need your help, and this worked out perfectly. I have our, I would say our head of the department of Dancing with the Stars. I have Beth with me here. Beth Artem
Chernowski.
Yes, Chernowski. Yes. Thank you. 41 today for Artem.
Wow.
Dancing with the Stars Pro. He won season 29 with Caitlin Bristow.
Yes, finally.
Finally, huh? He should have won
He's
a while
been
ago.
On the show almost the entire run of the show, and it took him till that season. And he was an instructor, and he worked with Len Goodman, who was one of the judges.
Oh yeah, and I know Len Goodman recently passed and stuff. And I hadn't seen much of the show, but what I remember of the show was him. That Len was really good. I thought he did a really good job on that show. Artem is also with Nancy Kerrigan, Maureen McCormick, Leah Thompson, and Patti LaBelle.
Yeah, he had some great partners. He just never made it.
I was going to say, win or lose, you got to work with some great people. That's pretty cool. Kenny Wayne Shepherd is 46, blues guitar master. He is really good, Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Very, very good. Got to see him live. And he is just as good live. Just as good. Snoochie Booches. Jason Mewes is 49 today. Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. Nugganooch. Nugganooch, Jason Mewes. Jason Mewes, I'm not going to get into it because we just don't have the time, but Jason Mewes is a quite the story. And to see where he is now and that his story is not supposed to end the way it will. He has struggled with addiction, struggled with a lot of different things. And he's still here and he is still working.
Yep.
And it has really straightened himself out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy to be able to say that because I'm a big fan of his and I like him. And I think if you ever see him in interviews and things, what you see is what you get. And I appreciate people like that the older I get.
Yeah, he seems like that. My first encounter with Jay and Silent Bob was actually in the movie Dogma.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that movie.
Oh, yeah, I imagine. I imagine a different level than some of us, maybe. But I love that movie. So love those guys. Kevin Smith and him are lifetime friends, and it shows and everything they've done.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Because he's the vocal half.
He is.
Yes, he's the vocal part of Jay and Silent Bob. And for those that don't know, I would say that 90, and this is from Kevin Smith himself, 90-some percent of the footage we've seen of those two is the first take.
Really?
Yeah. Usually if it's a second or third take, it's because Kevin started to laugh. I think that's pretty cool.
How he keeps a straight face, I don't know. I mean, that's why it's even more surprising.
It pays to be the director in that circumstance because if you have to cut and start and stop all the time, you're not getting in trouble with anybody.
There
it's
you
just
go.
You. One of my favorite personalities in sketch comedy history, Scott Thompson is 64 today. Kids in the Hall, star.
Okay, yep.
If it wasn't for Saturday Night Live and Second City, I would say Kids in the Hall I love even more than Monty Python.
Wow.
As much as I love Monty Python and everything it was, Kids in the Hall was what Monty Python was for my dad and his generation. Kids in the Hall was for my generation.
Mm-hmm.
We love Saturday Night Live, but Kids in the Hall were younger. They were doing different, like more edgier, darker comedy. They were on later, so you had to stay up really late to be able to catch their show. It was right after Saturday Night Live. And Scott Thompson was, while all the guys did drag, Scott Thompson is a homosexual man and was pretty much the first true, like out and out and proud, like in sketch comedy.
Right.
And for when he was doing things, it meant more. You could tell there was a little bit something. There was an added tone to it. To this day, Scott Thompson does amazing work when it comes to that and bring awareness to that. One of the braver human beings, actors that I've ever seen. And he's just incredibly talented and funny.
He had authenticity, and that authenticity makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a good word for it. It's a very good word for it. Meredith Brooks is 65.
Wow.
Singer, songwriter. I can't say the name of her title of her most famous song.
No, you can't.
You just have to pay some money.
I need a female dog in the room so I can actually get away with it. Let's see here. Oh, the great Marv Albert is 82, legendary sportscaster. A lot of us grew up with hearing Marv calling basketball games, especially. Some people no longer with us, like George Bush Elder. Born in 1924, passed away in 2018. Former U.S. president, of course. Let's see here. Brad Delp, born in this day, 1951, passed away in 2007. Boston's lead singer.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, okay.
And I need a second here. Sorry. I'm born in this day in 1929, passed away in 1945, Anne Frank. Jewish teenager hid from the Nazis in a secret apartment behind her father's business in German-occupied Amsterdam. After 2 years, the Franks were discovered and sent to a concentration camp in northern Germany. And Frank died sometime in March 1945 from typhus, only a few weeks before British soldiers liberated the concentration camp where she was a prisoner. Her writing is some of the most vital work in all of human literature. Period.
Yep.
It is the definition of empathy and of hopefully giving people an idea of what it was like. I, like many of people of my creed, lost family members, lost. We don't know how many family members in the Chiz family that we lost. And even with that being said, we have to be thankful because there is still a Chiz line. Many of my creed were wiped out, their family lineage wiped out, and many of Englishmen, of Scottish, of every creed in Europe, of every creed that's listening right now, lost people during World War II. Not just lost people, but family lines knocked out completely. Gone. Imagine if there were no Smiths. Like, that's what we're talking about here. The importance of the work that Anne Frank did can never, ever be forgotten.
No.
Especially right now, when we are seeing a rise in anti-Semitism. Please understand this, everybody. This rise in this hate, they're not going to stop at my people. They're not going to stop with me. They'll come after every single one of you. That's how this works. There is no pureness. There is no pure gene. So if these people have their way, for one, I hope somebody has told them they'd have to take themselves out eventually.
Yeah.
Like, does anybody just, like, if you're a Nazi, do you ever just look at the other person and be like, wait a minute, hold up. Like, does anybody else understand this? I don't know. I digress. We are all on the same page here.
We are
all on the same side here. It is not just ethnic people. It is all of us that need to be on the same side here. And her work is a big part of us getting there as a society, as a country, as a people. And I appreciate you, Anne. Thank you. One more time, want to wish a very, very happy birthday to our own Mike Crute. Happy birthday, sir.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Marilyn Siegler.
Happy birthday,
Marilyn. Happy birthday, Marilyn.
And a happy 30th anniversary to our qualifiers, Jim and Tammy Call.
Happy anniversary, Jim and Tammy.
Yay.
Enjoy your anniversary, you two. We hope it's a great one for you. Mm-hmm. Got Melissa's news coming up. Encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR.
Ain't there something I can give in exchange for everything you give to me? Read my mind, you make me feel just fine when I think my peace of mind is out of reach.
We're switching to music, everybody. We're switching to music. Nothing but Anita Baker the rest of the day.
There you go.
God, that voice.
So soulful.
It feels like she dances from like syllable to syllable.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like there's
yeah, that's a good way of describing it.
Some
yeah.
singers just like the way they can do that with their voices. I like when I'm singing alone in the car. Like I try, but it's horrible. There's been times where my Jeep stops and like you need to stop. All right, I can't do this anymore.
I can't go on anymore.
I can handle your rap and I can do that, but I can't. No, do not sing anymore. Let Anita sing. We got some fun stuff lined up for you. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We're going to get into some other things in a little bit. I thought this would be a fun one for us to dive into. First, a couple in L.A. were... that's not what I wanted. Where is it? Yes, here it is. Okay. There's a new report out on the worst colors to wear on a first date.
Okay. Colors?
Yeah, and this is according to relationship experts. And here are the ones they say you should avoid. Now, I just thought this was fun. I am not at all. I don't think that necessarily, like, whatever you're going to wear. Like, if you have...
If you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have a favorite outfit, if you've got an outfit, like, I look good in this outfit. Like, miss with all this. Don't even care about any of this. I think this is just more fun than anything. Have fun with it and stuff. It's kind of silly.
Okay.
I guarantee that there is data to push back on all of this.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah, there's somebody out there that's been with somebody for 20, 30 years, and they were wearing this color when they first met or whatever. So let's just have fun with it. So looking at this, here are the ones that they say you should avoid. And number one, brown.
Okay.
Brown can make you appear unadventurous, conservative, and unwilling to take risks. It's also associated with earthiness and can make you appear too casual or relaxed.
Hmm.
What if that's what you're wanting? What if that's what you're looking for? Like... It doesn't take the other side of these things into consideration.
So it's not that you look like poop.
Which does seem like it would definitely be
kind of fit, but no.
It all depends on the clothing, too.
Yeah.
I have two brown dresses that are actually quite flattering, and a brown polka dot one. Think Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to that dress. So, you know, I think that would be a perfect first date dress.
Well, and brown is a neutral color, so it's there to be built upon. You know, it's not black, you know, black or gray or that. Brown is one of those neutral ones, and especially if you get a good deep, like, mocha or chocolate color brown.
Mm-hmm. Can be a very nice complimentary color.
Yeah, exactly, to pair with whatever else you want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm writing all this down. I didn't know any of this. I need all this information. This is good stuff, ladies. This is really good stuff.
Now, if you show up head to toe in just brown coveralls, maybe not the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see, I finally thought I had a chance to wear my brown coveralls. I've had these for years, and I have no use for them.
Sorry, James.
Yeah, okay.
Wear them next time you fix the Jeep.
Yeah. Hey, good looking out. I appreciate the heads up. Gray. Gray makes you appear unapproachable. It might come off as too neutral or even indifferent, like you're not particularly excited or enthusiastic. I guarantee you that I have worn gray on a first date. As much gray as in my wardrobe, I am positive I have. I
just think this is so funny. Like, who wrote this?
Are they thinking monochromatic? Like, that's the only color you're in?
Right.
Are they giving some grace for you mix and match colors and
layers? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to blame the people over at Best bestlifeonline.com for this one. Okay. Laura Wasser okay. is a relationship expert at divorce.com, which, yikes. And I think we're getting some answers right now about some mm-hmm. of this. I think some of this is starting to become
somehow
a little more clear.
I don't think you're an expert in relationships if you're working for a divorce site.
It just feels like, it doesn't feel right. That ain't right story right there.
But let's keep going. This is mildly entertaining. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bright colors. You don't want to go too bold. Bright colors can make you appear too flashy or like you're trying too hard. That can also be distracting. What is that?
Well, this is a no-win situation. You can't go too blah, but you can't go too bright.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing that we never, second guess what we're going to wear in a first date. That we all feel so confident on a first date and everything. None of this What is going on with this?
I'm just curious to see where this is going to end.
Yeah.
Yellow is number 4 on the list. Yellow is a color of friendship and caution. Two things you don't want to subconsciously represent when trying to make a love connection.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
I thought you wanted to be a friend with your spouse or the person that you're in.
I don't know about that. Let's go ahead.
It depends on what your first date is going to end up with.
That's true.
Let's take a call real quick here. Good morning. You're on the morning show.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for joining us. What you got?
Oh, hi. I'm not quite sure who I was talking to. Is this J.P. LaChapelle's office?
No, it isn't, sir. Sorry, wrong number. But I'm sure they'll look forward to talking to you. Thanks for calling up. I kind of thought that's what that was. But you got to take it. Mm-hmm. Nobody can say I'm not trying to.
We should have asked him what color he wore on his first date.
It sounded busy. Wanted to let him get back to it.
But if you,
it's a good point. It's a good
if
point,
you've
Melissa.
Got some thoughts on this, give us a call.
Yeah, 424.
Go ahead.
424-2600. Phone line's wide open for you guys. You can call up anytime. Join the conversation. 424-2600. So with yellow being too much about friendship and caution, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Finally on the list, too much black. Black is generally a good choice, but don't too much. It can be gothic. Wearing all black, quote, may make you come across as morbid. Wow.
So the takeaways from this, don't wear gray, brown, black, bright colors, or yellow. So what's left? Pastels?
Yeah, it gets better. So what color should you wear? They didn't say, other than to encourage you to wear a color that, quote, reflects your personality and makes you feel confident.
And what if that's one of those colors?
Right, after they've just gotten done shattering your confidence with this
all
list.
Of the colors.
Yeah, yeah. And literally, bright colors is literally every color in the rainbow, right?
Yeah.
So, what is to your point early on, both of you, what color are you left with?
Well, and the little black dress is now out the window.
Oh, Oh, that ain't right.
Yeah.
All right, hold up. Now I'm getting offended. Now I'm getting angry.
You have
a little black dress off the no.
Well, I know, James, you prefer that for your first date outfit.
Yes.
It is your go-to. Your little
show
black
off
dress.
Legs.
Yeah, but it's very nice.
It's a good way to start things off on a comedic note. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I'm
a conversation
guy.
Starter.
I'm not so serious. Where you go? Oh, they left. Oh, they left. Yeah. Oh, that's usually what happens.
There you go.
Never had a second date. Never had a second date. Never. Again, be you. Wear what you feel good in, regardless of color. None of that matters. You meet the right person, it doesn't matter. I do think, though, that I at the end of this conversation, I think I have figured out what they are doing. They are, this is all about the color white. And promoting the color. That was the color that was missing.
There you go.
White's
absolutely.
Not on this list. These people have stock in the color white. They're promoting the color white. And we're after Memorial Day. Huh? Mm-hmm. Seeing some things lined up here.
At least they're not going to the point where it's transparent. Literally transparent. Because then there's no color whatsoever.
And they didn't say anything about patterns.
Yeah, that's true.
This is actually an article from a nudist colony. This is just their way of trying to promote it.
Yep.
Just get more and more people to join their
don't
cause
worry,
and everything. That's what it is. We found it out. We figured it out. I knew there was a catch. I knew there was something in that one. Taking a break. Coming back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Thank you so much for kicking it off with us. We appreciate you. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you at 8:47 on the clock. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour with some fun. 9 o'clock hour, of course, going to kick off with the kitchens open. Yay. Looking forward to that. Melissa and Beth's cooking show. We're looking forward to diving into that. We'll have a little bit of entertainment news, some That Ain't Right stories and good stories of the day all lined up for you in that 9 o'clock hour. Right now, would you rather be pretty or smart? That is the question. There's that saying, good looks can only take you so far, but what if good looks could take you to 90% farther?
Okay.
A poll asked more than 8,000 people.
Wow.
That's a pretty good poll right there. 8,000 mm-hmm. people. Would you rather be 30% smarter or 90% more attractive? And it was close. Now, do you guys want the results now and give your numbers, give your votes afterwards, or do you want to put your two cents in first before we dive into the results?
Let's hear the results.
Yeah.
Okay. It was close. And I think that's encouraging. It was close.
Yeah.
53% of people said that they'd rather be 90% more attractive, while 46% of people would choose to be smarter. Some people had solid reasons for their votes, like, quote, I'm already pretty smart, so I'll take the intelligence. Much better to be exceptional at one of them than good in both. And also, looks fade with age. The intelligence could last your whole life.
Mm.
And on the flip side, quote, I'm smart enough, but being attractive in life is like lowering the difficulty. And, quote, I'm smart enough to know that being smarter would only make me more unhappy.
Okay, there you go.
That's a funny line. That's pretty funny.
That is a good one.
To me, I don't know. I value intelligence so much, and I find I am attracted to intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the first things that pulls me to another person is their mm-hmm. their ability to carry a conversation, their brain. Like, yeah. To me, it's the sexiest thing about anybody I've ever known that I've dated or anything. It's usually their brain that attracts me to them. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there's physical attraction that's important. You got to have that. You can't build a relationship without both.
Right,
but it. I'll be honest here, and I don't know if I'm going to word this in a PC way or not. I've been with some stereotypical pretty women that could not carry a tune, could not, and the date ended before it even began. None of those ever lasted more than a date or two for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think it's also on the reverse of that, because I've dated a lot of women that are a heck of a lot smarter than me. And I have a feeling that we didn't have a second date because I couldn't hang with the conversation. So that has a flip side to it and everything. I don't know. Being pretty is cool. It's great and all, but it fades. Intelligence, that's you can always keep growing on that. I will say, I do think that there are some people that grow into their looks.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people that we know that maybe it took them time, and now in their mid-age or older age, that's where, oh, wow, they are refined. They look good, that kind of thing. So, I don't know.
I was waiting for a C instead of A or B.
Yeah.
I'd rather be a better person.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. How about that? How about that as an option? It'd be nice to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the point of the 30% smarter, 90% more attractive.
Yeah.
Why was it not the same ratio
exactly.
for both? I don't understand that part.
The only thing go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
The only thing I can think of is that many of us consider ourselves uglier than I think the rest of the world thinks we are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so it would take more of that to equal the intelligence thing. That's the only thing I can figure out, because the insecurity is there.
Between just the three of us here,
mm-hmm.
I have never understood how somebody thinks I'm attractive. I have never understood that. One second of my life I ever understood. I'm very, very, very thankful for it. Don't get me wrong. I don't get it.
Well, and I think, too, to Beth's point, the 30% intelligence, the comment that was mentioned earlier, like the more you know, the more you know you don't know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the more you realize there's a lot of things you just kind of don't want to know.
Right.
Yeah. I heard Stephen Hawking talk about how lonely his existence could be sometimes. And the interviewer asked because he was in the chair. And he said, no, because of his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up with that brain, it can be very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense, but I don't think I would have thought of it without reading his book and reading so much about him. I got to say, if you ever get a chance to read anything from Stephen Hawking, God, read it. He was such a great writer, such a great mind.
Well, I can only surmise that it's because he was able to see the world in a completely different way than anybody else, and nobody else to be able to talk to about what he saw.
And maybe to bring this full circle, Stephen Hawking, I don't think anybody was going to nominate him for People's Sexiest Man of the Year award, but happily married,
yeah.
Fell in love, and I believe she stayed, yeah, she was with him his whole life, mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. If I have that right, I may be a little off on, I'm not up on my Stephen Hawking dating career, but stats. But if I have that right, I mean, he had love, and I guarantee you, part of her attraction to him was his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Which I could see. I get that. I get that. Let's go on, though. Let's move on. I think we've gotten to that one to the extent we can. I think this is a good story of the day. I also think it could be a That Ain't Right story of the day. I kind of like the versatility of this one.
Okay.
A couple in L.A. were cleaning out their parents' home last year, and they discovered a ton of pennies in a tight crawl space in the back of the basement. There were loose pennies, boxes of pennies, crates of pennies, and dozens of bank bags filled with pennies. They estimate that there's a million of them, if not more.
Oh, my.
Wow.
They didn't say exactly how old they are, but the pennies are copper, not zinc, which the U.S. switched to in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The problem is, what do you do with 1 million pennies?
Well, apparently there's a shortage out there of pennies.
Well, I got to think, you're discovering this, and it's you and your partner, right? So mm-hmm. you're discovering this, and as you're seeing this, it's still money. You've mm-hmm. got to be mm-hmm. like, oh, my God, there's more? Wait, there's even more? Oh, there's more? Now there's crates?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're adding this up in your head and like, oh, my gosh, we can finally get a new refrigerator. Oh, we get a new car. And as you're doing this more and more, like, oh, my God, we may be millionaires. And then it dawns on you, in pennies.
However, if you're a coin collector, there may be some really rare coins in all of those pennies that you could be getting some real big bucks for.
Yeah,
because they're all copper.
Yeah.
The value that's something else.
The value of these pennies is not 1 cent.
No.
That's for sure. So the first thought was Coinstar, but they didn't want to lose 8%.
Yeah.
And logistically, it wouldn't work since it would be a pain to get the pennies there, and just a bag or two would probably jam up the machines. They called around to banks, but none of the banks were interested. One bank manager even warned them not to bring them in, saying that they didn't have room in the vault to accept bulk pennies.
Oh my goodness.
1 million pennies would be worth about $10,000.
Yeah.
But the couple thinks that there's more value in the uniqueness of the collection,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they said that it's possible that there are rare pennies in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They put up ads online saying that they'd part with them for $25,000. But they've only received lowball offers back so far. One person offered the copper value, but that proved to be impractical. So for now, they're holding on to them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Until they find the right person. That's probably smart.
By the way, it's unclear why the homeowners had stashed all those pennies, but the family believes that they unintentionally converted paychecks to copper pennies, believing that their value would be worth more over time.
Okay.
I got to think, though, that if they haven't already heard from it, they're going to hear from the, U.S. Mint shop.
Yep.
Everything.
The Treasury.
Because they are very good at if you've got if there is a bill from D.B. Cooper out there, they'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they keep track of all of this stuff. This was a part of my laughter at crypto. And the idea that they don't track your money in cryptocurrency and everything. Yeah, they do. All money is tracked. All currency is tracked, people. Like, it is numbered for a reason. Everything. That dollar bill that you have tucked away, or that $2 bill that you have tucked away that your aunt gave you when you were 13 or whatever, they got that. They got that tracked.
Yep.
All of it. I don't know. What would... What would you do with this situation? Would you go to like the whatever the highest bidder and just to get them off your plate, just to get them out of the room, out of the house, and everything? Or would you hang on to these and see maybe there's a collector out there that would pay more for them? I kind of think it's found money, so I would lean mm-hmm. towards the collector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they could even do something because there's coin shows that happen all across the country, everywhere, mm-hmm. and they could take a selection of them to. So it wasn't overwhelming, mm-hmm. but selection of them to coin show and offer to let people look through them because you've got all those experts there. I don't know.
Well,
you could maybe find them that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Do some research. Yeah. I mean, I would probably contact the Department of Treasury and say, hey, I think I might have something here. Can you help me figure this out? And let them help you figure out which ones are worth something, which ones aren't. And then the ones that are worth something, then you go and try to get the value of what it really is, not the 1 cent for it.
Yeah, I would, the first and foremost, literally, as soon as I saw those pennies, I'd be contacting the Treasury mm-hmm. Department, because mm-hmm. with my history, I just feel like there's just no way they'd believe me that I just found them. Like, I feel like there's just, they'd be looking at my back history right. and all that. I'm like, no, come on, James. We know you. Come on. Like, no, I found all these pennies. I didn't know where they came from. Like,
they were under the floorboards.
Yeah. Yeah. A likely story.
No. Because they'd know what to do with them.
Yes.
Most people wouldn't know what to do with them, but the Department of Treasury is going to be able to give you some ideas and advice as to how to handle it.
Yeah. We are going to have our good friend J.R. Seward joining us with Let's Talk Real Estate this week. Looking forward to that. J.R. will be with us tomorrow in Morning mm-hmm. Magazine.
Oh, all right.
I want to ask him about this troll apartment in the middle of Los Angeles.
Oh, uh-huh.
There is a troll apartment in the middle of Los Angeles bridge that is listed for over $250,000.
What?
It's not a bad place. It's location.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally right over a bridge.
Yeah, it is.
Like an overpass.
The interior is beautiful.
The interior looks like a really like nice studio apartment in LA, like in downtown LA. It's just over a bridge. I like the idea of this. I also like the idea of every time you have a guest come over, they have to answer a riddle. But you can't come in until you solve a riddle. Like every day, like, come on, man, just let me in to watch the game. Nope, you got to solve the riddle first.
Yep.
The game started. Would you let me in the hut? Nope, yep, you solved the riddle. It's a pretty cool looking place, though. I don't know. I would be all right with this. That seems pretty cool. You can find out more about the listing. It's the Alberum home is dubbed the Troll Apartment online because it's located beneath the road and over the arch of a bridge overlooking Alberworth Wash. So there you go.
There you go.
So you have traffic driving over you all the time.
I was just going to say, it comes with its own white noise.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. There's some noise, all right. Taking a commercial break. We'll come back with the kitchens open and plenty more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.